We're going back over today. The Lord just has put it in me. Going back to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter we're going to go to. In doing so, I had talked about this before some time back. It's been a while since I ministered. And so anyhow, when we sit down and when you read, one of the things the church has done over time, we have broken so many teachings up. And really, Paul's dealing with the church at Corinth. And if you follow in suit, one of the things he dealt with them about was the communion table and their act of not walking in love with each other. So he goes over, and what has happened, we need to understand this, is you read, lots of times, you know, we don't read letters to the churches. We read a few scriptures here to it, a few scriptures there to it, a few scriptures over here to it, and we miss the purpose of the letter. Now, the church at Corinth, they had a love problem. They had a trouble that is in America today and in the American church. There's too much self-centeredness. We need to understand this and get a hold of this. If you understand this, you will understand more of his dealing with them. The church at Corinth he's writing to, he wrote to them that they're spiritual babies. He told them, I can't talk to you as mature people. I got to talk to you as kids. And so we need to understand why he's dealing with them on these things. Did you ever notice kids are self-centered? And if you didn't know that, you must have never been little. I don't know, or you never thought you were. You forgot about that. But it just did, you know. If you ever take we talk about babies are cute. Little babies are self-centered, ain't they? You know, they ain't interested in whether you get sleep or not. They have no care whether it works out for you. It's what I want. And if I don't have what I want, then I yell. And, you know, they go along in life. And so what we do is we try to teach them and train them as we go along that life's not all about you. So this is one of the problems that we have today in our culture, because we have told our children that life is all about them. And we have trained them in that manner. We've trained them that when they get in trouble, the whole earth stops to take care of their problem. So they grow up and they think that way. You know, I didn't grow up with that. I was not the center of attraction in the home. You know, we didn't grow up like that. We were children at home. We had responsibilities. You know, our parents took care of us, provided for us. But, you know, life didn't circle around us. It didn't circle around our sporting events that we were involved in four different sports at the same time. And our parents ran here and there. Why? Because you're the center of attraction. You know, whether or not, you know, you attain in life is the most important. Well, it's number one. If I teach you right and train you right and you don't work out in life for you, tough. I'm sorry. It ain't my job to fix everything for you. I'm sorry. It's not. But we've lived that life in that kind of thing, and it's really become a major problem. Paul's dealing with that thing with this church. He's dealing with immature people who think that gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Spirit, are about them. And they're not. Understand this. God operates through you for others. He don't operate through you for you. See, people say, we're going to be like Jesus. Well, did Jesus come into the earth for Jesus? Nah, he didn't. He came into the earth. In other words, God put him in the earth and God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. What about doing good? Doing what? Good for Jesus? No. What about doing good? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. God is with us to minister to others. That's what he's done. Well, when Paul turned around and he had talked to them about the church, about many of them were weak, sick, and died prematurely because they weren't walking in love. They went and were taking communion, and communion was a dinner about you getting yourself satisfied and yourself. It wasn't about the rest of the people around you. And so he dealt with them about that and told them because of those things and because of that, they were having problems. See, they believed in healing, but it wasn't working for them. It wasn't working. Why? Because of their immaturity. And so we need to understand it. There's things that are required of you and I to have the blessings of God. Understand this. To whom much is given, much is required. And we've lost that thing. We turn around and give people educations and require nothing of them. That's ridiculous. You know? We everybody, you know, they want to require something of somebody else. You know, we ought to get the government to do this. We ought to get the government. No, we ought to get you to do something. You know, we're always trying to get somebody else to do something. And instead of being a blessing, you know, it's like today, and there's all these people out here, I'm behind our military. Yes, they're behind them. They ain't with them. They're behind them. You know, we talk about supporting and doing stuff. People talk a good game, but it's actually doing something. You know, we were taught, I was taught as a child, I was supposed to be a participant in things, in doing stuff. And so, and I'm thankful for that. Because see, I didn't grow up with a problem. I was 17 years old, and when I went in the Army, I was more mature than most of 30-year-olds today. I went in the Army, I had no trouble, problem, thing, obeying orders and doing stuff, taking responsibility. I mean, I was 19 years old in Vietnam, and man, we were running millions and millions of dollars worth of equipment, and we didn't have people older than me over me. Had one guy, he was 20. I was 19. All the rest of us were 19. We ran a site that ran priority communications, top secret communication. We ran it. Today, most 50-year-olds, I wouldn't let them do it. I wouldn't let most Congress people, because they'd tell everything secret they could find out. They'd tell. We have a different type of people today. And it is because it all starts back into this. And this is why when we read these letters, what's he trying to do to these people? He started off in chapter 12 to tell them about spiritual gifts. He said, God don't want you ignorant about spiritual. And he didn't, the word gifts wasn't in the first verse. He said spiritual. In other words, actually some translation said spiritual. Spirituals. It actually means things of and pertaining to the spirit. You need to understand the realm of the Spirit. Well, that's going to take maturity to learn to understand the things of the Spirit. It's going to take something. And so we need to understand. Then he spoke to them about manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifests in the earth. But understand this, it's through people. He doesn't manifest out by himself. Most of the church world, even today, expects the Holy Spirit to manifest outside of them. You know, the Holy Spirit show up in a meeting. No, he manifests through people. That's what he does. He manifests. If you want to see manifestations of the Spirit, grow up spiritually. That's what you do. And then the Holy Spirit can manifest through you. Here's another thing. See, it's like many people. Yeah, I was going to go over this way, but the Holy Spirit, I think, is pulling in this way. It's sort of like dealing with. Kenneth E. Hagin talked about this back in during the healing revivals. See, God was moving during the healing revival. The people that God anointed back then were doing the ministry, and like Oral Roberts and them and their big tents, that wasn't for the Spirit-filled church he did that for. It was to reach the world and reach people who didn't know about the Spirit-filled life. That's what it was for. You know, I'm going to tell you what, just like this, you go to a Benny Hinn meeting, and I was, and it is just full of Spirit-filled people trying to get healed. And they wonder why it don't work. Well, they found out, it's like the Assemblies of God did a thing back in 1953 or something like that they did. But they did a thing with Oral Roberts' ministry. Oral Roberts, you know, when you go to his meetings, you got prayed for, you had to sign cards and stuff, and you got a number because there were so many people, and it had to be organized because you couldn't just call people up. I mean, he had his tent set 20,000 people. And, you know, and half of them are sick. And the majority of them are church people. And so they filled out cards, and they got a number, and you were in a certain group, and they'd pray for a certain group, and they'd call another group, and they'd do this. So anyhow, they had names and addresses of people, and those were, they had the people sign them. So what they did was the Assemblies of God, after the meetings, they asked Oral if they could have his things because they wanted to do follow-up. They're going to do a survey. And so they did a survey. They got 6,000 responses back from people from this meeting he was at. So the, we know that there was a minimum, we know that there were 6,000, there was many more than that were prayed for, but 6,000 people sent a response back. That they sent out. They asked, just asked a simple question. They asked, you know, people, were you prayed for healing? Were you healed? And are you still healed? Were you healed at the meeting? You know, many people lose healings. They get healed. They get healed in a meeting. And they get healed in that atmosphere of faith. But as soon as they get out and leave that meeting, they ain't sitting. There's a whole different thing of sitting in an atmosphere of people of faith. Then when you leave that, you don't have that. This is why you got to learn to have set an atmosphere of faith yourself. You got to learn to do that. If you don't do that, you're going to have a lot of trouble when you leave the faith place. Well, what they found out was this, that only 2 out of 10 people who were from Spirit-filled churches, 2 out of 10 got healed at that meeting, and less than that were healed 6 months later. Well, they found out that the people who came of the other group, 8 out of 10, these are people who were either a sinner or they went to denominational churches and didn't know about, you know, the Spirit-filled life and weren't taught about healing. 8 out of 10 got healed and they were still healed. Why? Because you need to understand this about this. You're Spirit-filled, and you're sitting under teaching. God expects a lot more out of you. You need to understand this. You ain't getting away with what the Baptists get away with in their ignorance. This is good preaching. This is why Kenneth Hagin made this statement. Speaking to Spirit-filled ministers, he said, you're not going to get most of your people healed. Is why? Because there's an expectation of the Spirit-filled people to act in faith. They keep trying to get it like a baby. They're trying to get it from somebody else. They're trying to get something. And they're not walking by faith. This is one of the things. See, the church at Corinth's not operating in the areas of faith. 12th chapter, he talks about gifts of the Spirit, and then he stops and he talks about love. Why? This is important. Why? Because the manifestations of the Spirit operate through us for others. It's not some selfish thing. See, if you don't walk in love, see, love is something you have. Most people love themselves. I hear people teach, well, you know, they teach them, well, you got to love yourself if you're going to say this thing. And well, there's some truth to that. Most people love each other already too much. So it's like we don't have to teach on that subject. Let's teach on loving others. You know what? It's not hard for me to like me. Because you know, the Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. The thing that I deal with is walking in love toward others. You know, I might forgive me pretty quick. The other guy we're not sure about. But walking in love, and see what he's dealing with, because then he goes over and he talks to them about the church. They have manifestations of the Spirit in church, and you know what? They're all just speaking out in tongues. They are not considering the other people. It's about me. It's about, I have an unction of the Spirit. Well, it doesn't matter. What matters most in the church world is this, is for us in church among each other. Paul clarifies it, and what's it? He clarifies and comes down to the fact, dealing with the areas of manifestation of the Spirit, their purpose is to bless the body. That's it. It's not to just bless you, the body. So if God wants to manifest through you, it's not to make you a big deal. So somebody thinks you're really wonderful and spiritual. I want to tell you, God talked through donkeys and he was clearer than most Christians. So, don't ever think it's anything great that God uses you. God is great. Hallelujah. That's the great one. Because he uses it. It's his determination to use us. What we want to be is vessels. If we don't walk in love toward the rest of the church, then our gifts are not going to work well at all. They're not going to bring out what God wants to do. It's not to make anybody a center of attraction. It's not to do that. What it is to bless the body. And so when we look at this thing and look at it, and I'm going to start reading from the beginning of it in verse 1 and 14. He said, pursue love. See, first of all, pursue love. Why would he say that to them? They hadn't been doing that. They weren't pursuing love toward the rest of the body. See, I want more and better gifts in operation. Well, then the body better get focusing on the rest. See, you can want gifts, and that's good. You're supposed to. We're supposed to desire them. He tells us here. But pursue love. He said, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So, in other words, speaking by utterance by the Holy Spirit. He said, especially in that area. Now, he said prophecy. In other words, speaking in a known language to the people that you're talking to. In other words, what? The edification of the body. This is the important thing today. The edification of the body. We want to edify the body of Christ and build the body of Christ up. So we don't want to, you know, gifts are for that purpose. And, you know, it's just like gifts of healing. When Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, I didn't put my name in the church and gifts of healing to heal the church. It's to heal the world. Well, what's it for? Well, those gifts edify the body. They bring people into the body is what they do. They build the body and make it better. You and I, he said the Christian should be healed by the communion table. And you know, one of the things is lost, the Lord dealt with me about this, and I want to just say this about the communion, because we're going to take communion today. You see, Jesus said to take communion, he said, do this as often as you do in remembrance of me. Many people practice the ritual, but they ain't really focused on Jesus. Jesus is the deliverer, he's the healer, it's focusing on him. We want what we do magnifies Jesus Christ. It's not to magnify us. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. You go to the communion table, you ought to just be thanking God. Hallelujah. The blood, I tell you what, you know, we're singing about the power of the blood today, but you really understand about the power of that blood, what it did for you. My God, a phenomenal thing. Made you into a completely different being. Amazing. Is what he did. It's Jesus. Jesus did this thing. So we want to magnify Jesus. We want to glorify him. We pursue love. Hallelujah. We desire spiritual gifts. He told us in that thing, and that says, you know, that we're supposed to desire, but that word means to be zealous for or to burn it with desire. We want manifestations of the Spirit. What for? To glorify Jesus. Manifestations of the Spirit are to show that Jesus Christ is alive and real. They are supernatural. This is why you want them. You know, we're just trying to make Jesus real to people by talk. This is why, like, if you take major moves of God, you know, when I was down in Peru on a mission trip down there, we just had manifestations of the Spirit. Just think, and I'm going to tell you what, it is amazing. You didn't have to try to coach people to get, you know, accept Jesus and he'll give you more money and a new house. You know, you didn't have to. You went out there, and I'm going to tell you what, gifts of the Spirit, and people ran to Jesus because God was moving supernatural and blessing people's lives who were messed up. Most Christians must think they're pretty messed up because they think they need gifts of the Spirit to help their life. You don't need gifts of the Spirit to help your life. Gifts of the Spirit are given to bring people in. Why? Because God has blessed you already with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Get thinking like that. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. Everything that God wants to do is good. He's given it to me. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah, I'm not trying to get it. He gave it to me. All I got to do is find out what those things are and believe I got it instead of walking around and keep trying to get it. Like the Lord said to me many years ago, why does my people keep trying to get all what I already gave them? Why are they doing that? They have it. That's what faith. Faith believes you have something you can neither see nor feel. And until you get to that point that you are convinced without a doubt that you have it, whether you see it or feel it, then it will show up. And until then, it will not. You got to be convinced you got it. Hallelujah, I have it now. Glory to God. Say, does it look like it? No, that's why I have faith. Faith is in use because I can't see it. I can't feel it. I have no sense that it's mine other than what God said. That's what faith is. And you got to come to that place. Get to that place. It's mine. I have it. Glory to God. I got it. It's mine. Hallelujah. You know, it's like you know, giving testimony, you know. It's going to rain all day when you're out there having that sale. Ah, you're asking too much money, you know. See, up here, but see, they were believing something that was neither, and they had opposition to it. Faith is what you use when you can neither see it, when all the opposition's going on. That's what faith's about. Faith ain't to make give you goosebumps. You stand in faith because you ain't got no goosebumps. You can stand in faith because none of that other stuff seems to be working. And faith is that thing that holds you and say, no, 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 this is the way it is. God said, I got it, and God ain't a liar. Hallelujah. He's telling the truth. See, you want to go to that point. And see, he's dealing with these people here, and he says this. Now, he makes this statement, verse 2. He said, for he who speaks in a tongue, and a tongue, that word tongue, that's a naturally unacquired language. That if you look at Strong's Concordance, says that. He says, did not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however in the spirit he speaks mysteries or secrets. So understand this. Talking in tongues is a thing. You know what you're going to have to do to talk in tongues? You have to use your faith. See, we speak in tongues. What? I'm speaking mysteries or secrets to God, not to men. I'm not speaking it to men. I'm speaking it to God. So he's talking about speaking in tongues here. It's from the individual. Then he says this, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Prophecy is nothing secret about it. It's prophecy is the anointing of God through an individual to say things, to speak things to that God is saying in a language people know. You know, it's just like if I stood up here in front of you and spoke French, what good would that do you? Because you don't know French. See, in prophecy, prophecy speaking in the known language of the people there. What's it do? For edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what it's done for. Prophecy is not, what he's talking about here is the gift of prophecy in operation. He's not talking about the prophet's ministry. The prophet's ministry operates in prophecy on a different level because of the prophetic gift. Simple prophecy, the gift of prophecy, operating through the average Christian will be edification, exhortation, or comfort. It's not correction and all that kind of stuff. It's not what it is. See, we need to understand the difference. So, he said, so in other words, prophecy is an edification to the body of Christ. That's what it's for. You speak for it. God is operating in those things. So in other words, whoever God uses, he's speaking to people, these Christians that are together, he is speaking it for their benefit to help them. And see, as number one, you ought to be, a lot of people say, well, I want to minister. Well, these are ways that God ministers. And it's not outside of natural learning. It's outside of that. It's a manifestation. See, one of the things that I've learned when I started off in Christianity, God wanted to manifest gifts. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I had stuff start to want to operate through me. Well, I had to learn this fact that this thing is operating through me. It's not through my knowledge, because I'd have sometimes things would come for me, they wouldn't make sense, but they made sense to other people. It was strange, you know? And see, what we want to do is this. We want God to operate through us for us. It's not for us, it's for others. You know, because sometimes God would have me out to edify somebody and somebody would know something and I'd think, well, to me that really wasn't for me. But to them, they were like, oh man, I needed that. And I think, yeah, well, I don't even know what that was about. Wondered what that one was. And so you have that. And this is one of the things, it's outside of your mental. This is one thing, you're going to have to lose the fear about you. You know, I don't want to look dumb in other people. You already do. Get over yourself. You know? We got to get past the fact of, well, you know, it's like Brother Hagin. Brother, and I really always appreciated him that he used to say about, like, he would do this. He'd have a word for somebody or something, and he would stop and say, he said, like, and he'd tell somebody something. He said, is that so? He want to know. He said, I want to know if I've hit it or missed it. I don't know, because the words come out sometime for people, and you don't know what it's about yourself, but you want to find out. He said, if I missed it, I want to know about it. So he wasn't afraid. You got to lose the fear you're gonna miss it. Because I tell you, in life, how many in your life you've never missed it in anything? Everything you've done's been perfect and right. Well, did you quit doing things? Why is it when it comes to the church and spirituality, we're a whole different people? We're a whole different people. See, we got to get past this thing. I found this out. I was concerned about that at first. I really was. I was concerned about those things. I mean, I thought I didn't want to look stupid. I didn't want to look dumb. And the Lord showed me things. He said, have you been looking dumb in front of your wife for years? You know? But I found this out. I would hit it a lot more than I missed it. And I got better at it and got better at it over time. But I found out there's things came along and this is God working, you know. And I learned to start to yield to that. I thought, well, if I miss it, then I missed it. Hey, you know, I'm just a human. Hallelujah. If you expect somebody to be perfect, you know, I know people turn around and get upset at ministers because they're not perfect. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's nobody perfect in the ministry. And great numbers of people follow people who aren't very accurate many times. Just because somebody says what they want to hear. Accuracy, we need to understand it. And you just, you got to, I mean, people make excuses for ministers not being accurate and say they are. You know? No, we're not, no, nobody's perfect at this. And also, we're imperfect vessels. Sometimes we don't bring things out as clear as you know, the gift. Why? Because we're imperfect. When you get, the more mature you get better at bringing things out, picking things up. But sometimes things are hard to bring out. They aren't, you know, you bring them out as best you can. And that's just part of what we are in ministry and working. In verse 4, Paul wrote and said to them, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Well, that's what Jude said, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, charging yourself up. It edifies you. Now see, you need to understand this. Many times people don't speak in tongues in their own personal life, and they don't realize they're hurting their own edification. You need to understand this. Why? He said, when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm edifying myself. Well, that's going to take faith to do that. I can pray in tongues and I don't get goosebumps. I'm just sorry. That just don't happen. But the Bible says I'm edifying myself. Either that's true or it's a lie. Well, you have to decide that. In other words, if it becomes a thing that's difficult and hard for you to do, then you need to understand. You need to spend more time in the Word till you build yourself up and meditating on that till that becomes true to you, that you'll do it. Until that time, you need to understand, we can go wrong and play these games, but sometimes I don't care, you may have information. It is no good to you unless you can do it. It is no value. There's no value to, you know, I don't care if you got a sheepskin that says something. If you can't do it, it don't matter. Burn the sheepskin. Because it don't matter. It has no value. It's only value if you can do it. We put on a thing, we're in an informational society. I want a doing society. That's the one I'm interested in. The doing society. The one that takes the information they got and do it. Hallelujah. That's the good one. Now, Paul made this statement in verse 5. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Now, he said this. Now, let's keep this in, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Why would he make that statement? Why? Because he's not talking about your personal tongues in life. He's talking now about the gift. This manifestation is as the Spirit wills. Tongues under the gift are to be interpreted. You see, there was a real mess up in this. Let me finish. He said, that you prophesy. He said, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, the church may be edified. Tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. Now the tongues he's talking about ministering in church is tongues that comes by the unction of the Holy Spirit to be interpreted. It's the gift. The gift doesn't operate through everybody. It operates through those whom the Spirit wills. Not everybody's going to, you're not all going to sit in church here, and I mean, it would really be an extraordinary thing that the gift of tongues would work through everybody in the church, because we're going to find out if you read this thing, Paul said only do it by three. In other words, in a congregation, with Paul, not everybody is going to have a tongue that's going to be interpreted. And he said, if you do, don't only do it by three people and only have one interpreter. He didn't say, let 10 people who can interpret. Why? He's talking about the gifts in operation. He's talking about, you don't want confusion to start. You don't want those things. You want to edify the body. This is the big edification of the body. So you don't want to bring, he talked about doing things that are decent and in order, keeping order in the church. There's things of order. See, I sit around as a good minister friend of mine. Now, he got off over in this thing because of tongues interpretation. And they'd have all these ministers. And he sent me a video of him. And he's sitting there and he's all these ministers. And they're all talking in tongues and interpreting back and forth all to each other. And I thought, It isn't scriptural what they're doing. And number one, there was no anointing in it. This was them doing it. See, you can get over where you do it. And see, follow what the word says. Follow what the word says. So see, Paul's not talking about having meetings and everybody speaks out in tongues. You know, my personal tongues, most of the time, is not to be interpreted. I'm just praying, edifying myself, or yielding the Holy Spirit, praying about things that I don't know about. See, we need to understand about those things. And these are the things he's talking about. So there's tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. Tongues without it, in other words, we shouldn't be having it. And Paul goes on to talk about, if there's not an interpreter, he said, keep silent. We'll find out he made that statement. Keep silent. See, does God use you interpretation? Well, if he doesn't, is number one, you're going to, and as I tell the story, the first time God used me, I was just a young Christian, I was a baby Christian, sitting in a meeting. There's about 500 people there. Person spoke in tongues and I had the interpretation. I'd never done that before. See, I don't know why. God didn't, all these people, you get mature, God will use you. Well, I mean, I don't know that God. That ain't my God. I found out God has to use baby because when people, lots of times people think they're mature, he can't use them at all anymore. See, I just didn't know. I was living out of my spirit. I didn't have enough in my head to live with these. I needed all the help a God could get. And I was told the Holy Ghost was inside of me and I'm listening to this guy on the inside because I knew up here there wasn't much going on. And so I had to listen. And I just knew it. I had the interpretation. But I just froze. I had this thing. And here you go, Man, am I going to look dumb or what? I give this interpretation. I don't know. To me, it seemed like I was sitting there for weeks and everybody was looking at me. You get that? It's like, everybody knows I got this thing. They didn't know I had it at all. But I know it, and I think it sticks out like a sore thumb, because you know it. You got it. And then finally, I gave the interpretation. Finally, I did give it. And it was like, what? Because it was like inside of me boiling up. And the more I resisted it, the more it seemed to boil up. And like when I finally did it, it was like, oh my God. I could rest. Now, I ain't saying that was the first time for me. It doesn't work in that manner anymore like that. I mean, the things will come to me, and I realized, God was teaching me. He sort of did a thing on an extreme side to get me to move, and that's to showing me in an area to do something. Now, so you need to learn in these areas. Now, Paul wrote in verse 6 here, Paul said, but now, brethren, he said, if I come to you speaking with tongues, he said, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or teaching? In other words, if I come to you, I speak in tongues. He's saying this. He goes on this. What good is that going to do you unless the only thing is revelation? If I can give you revelation, I can give you some knowledge. Prophesying or teaching. See, those are things that are done to edify the church. What good is it going to do? See, if you're going to speak in tongues, you have to have an interpreter because you have to have somebody so the church gets edified. The church, it's for teaching. It's for instruction. This is the purpose. It's not just some nice little, you know, spiritual things. It's done with purpose in it. So God wants to bring something across to us. He said, everything without life, whether flute or harp, he said, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction, he said, in the sound, how will it be known that what is piped is played? He said, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. This is important. He's telling them. In other words, this is just blowing wind if I'm talking in tongues and it's not being interpreted. To the body, it amounts to nothing. Now, you see, you can sit there to yourself, and I do this all, when we're worshiping lots of times. I'll sing in tongues. Many times I speak in tongues to God. I'm just out of my own spirit. I just have an unction to say something to Him that is beyond my knowledge. And I just, my spirit man wants to say something in an unknown language to me, but I know this on the inside. See, I'm speaking unto God, not unto men. It's edifying me. And see, this is my worship to Him, and it edifies me. Glory to God. I'm saying things to Him He likes to hear, and it works on me. What a good little tool that is. What a nice thing that is. Hallelujah. It builds me up. Hallelujah. Well, verse 10, he said, there are, it may be, so many languages in the world, and none of them without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. See what he says? In other words, edifying the church. This is one of the things. This is what you always measure. Measure what you do. I've said in services, I remember this. I was in a church. It was just a start off church when the Lord told me to go there. And they were zealous for spiritual gifts, but some of the people coming into there, definitely not mature and edifying the body. But, you know, there was things in operations it would do. You know, it's sometimes, I remember they used to have this group of three ladies would come every once in a while there to church. And, you know, a couple times they had ones of them like stood up and started, speaking out while the minister was ministering and stuff. That's not God. That's not edification. That's not decent in an order. You see, you have people do that. You know, they thought, well, God, no, that isn't God. That caused confusion. What happened, and I'll tell you this, it'll stop the anointing from working through the minister. See, they're operating under a wrong spirit. And I know these people. This one woman that was there, one of them would do it. She used to come to church all the time and ask people to always pray for her husband, you know, get saved because he was such a heathen. You know, and he was a heathen. But she was a Christian who was a heathen. I'll never forget, Wanda and I were across town over at Lebanon at the Y store, over on the other side of Lebanon. And we were in there one night, and we were in there getting groceries, and she was in the store, and she came up to us, and she was mad. She said, my husband, God saved him, and she said, you know, saved him and just forgave him everything and all that he's done to me. And she was this lady, she wanted him saved. Well, see, I knew right away, you know, she was a liar and a fraud, running around asking people. Everything she did was for her attention. All her asking for prayer was for, feel sorry for me, I'm living with this bad guy. No wonder he was a heathen. He was living with a heathen. He was more sanctified than she was. He was righteously evil. She was unrighteously evil. Ha ha ha. You know? We stood there and listened to it. I said, I just said, I can't believe it. I said, you ask people to pray, the guy gets saved, and you're upset God saved him. I mean, I'd have just been downright excited. I mean, you know. I know Wanda was glad that God changed me. He said, man, I don't know. She might have been praying, God, do something to that man. Dear Lord. She said, well, God saved that guy, and all he did. And it just, you know, in this moment, as she's doing this. You know, and so, but see, we need to understand these things. Sometimes people in the area is what they call spirituality ain't very spiritual. You know? We want to edify the church. So he said in verse 13, he said, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue, what? Pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. You see what happened? He's telling here, if you're going to speak in tongues, then pray that you may interpret. If God's inspiring you, you don't know if there's an interpreter in a place. See, if I'm in a place and that stuff, I would want to know if some, especially you're in a place you're not maybe familiar with and that stuff, you would want to know that there's someone who interprets. You have that. You know, see, God's used me in interpretation and from the time I was a young Christian. He'd used me in interpretation in that area. And so God used me. So, and I've always said, well, people, somebody spoke out, I could interpret. But one of the things, you want to make sure that you're speaking by the unction of the Spirit. You want to know that, you know, it just, you're just not out just saying something, you know, that, you know, you can get, it's like with me, I can get inspired while I'm here worshiping, and I'm just moved to speak out in tongues. But I understand that those tongues are not for an interpretation for the body. I know that. See, you got to learn the difference. There's an anointing that knows you're speaking. God wants to say something to the people. God wants to do that. And you know, and you understand that. And so, we want to, in other words, there needs to be an interpreting. Paul says, then what's the conclusion then? He said this. Now he's talking about praying in tongues. Listen to what he says. I will pray with my spirit. See, this is not speaking, this is not the gift. You don't pray with the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is a ministry gift to the body to speak. That's what the gift of tongues is. He said, now if I pray, he's talking here, this is why you got to rightly divide the word. Everybody just jumbles all this thing together this time. This is why people don't understand, and even in the church. He said, I'm praying in tongues here. He said, now when I'm praying in tongues, Paul makes this, he's clarifying a difference. He said, I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with my spirit, and I'll sing with my understanding and also. He's talking about personally. Just like you could sit down and pray a prayer from your mind that you know to pray from the Word, you can in the same way will to pray in the Spirit. I don't have to wait for any unction to pray in the Spirit. I don't have to, I'll pray what I know and then I'll stop and say, now Lord, I don't know everything about this situation. So what I'm, Holy Spirit, I'm allow you to pray through me to do whatever you know the will of God is in this thing. You know more about that person than I do if I'm praying for a person. You know why lots of things don't change with people? Because all you pray about is what you know. And that's why it don't work. Because you don't know nothing. All you know is what you see them do. You don't know their heart condition and where they're really at. You might think they're really bad and terrible. And you know what? Your thoughts might be worse than the condition they're in. See, we need to get over there. This is why we pray. Because I don't know about individuals. I don't know. I don't know their motivations. You know, I run into Christians that, you know, seem to be nice, like that woman. Oh, she go to church, oh, pray for my husband, this and that. And then we found out what she's really like. Well, you don't know about people. And so sometimes people, you know, they're in a tough, they might be in a tough situation. They're doing what they're doing. If you were in their situation, you wouldn't do as good as they are. And so, pray for them. Lord, I don't know. And I pray in tongues for that individual outside, Lord. You know what would work for them, and you know what you can do. I don't know everything. So I can, by my will, I can do that. I can pray what I can sing. Do you ever sing in tongues? You should. You can sing by your own will. You can sing in other tongues. I do it. I sing in other tongues. I can by my will. So Paul said, you can do it. See, we don't practice these things. These are nice little scriptures that we have in the Bible, and we say we read the Bible. Yeah, that's all we do is read it. It's got to be done. I can sing in the spirit. I can sing with my mind. See, we get up here in the morning. We sing songs from our mind. This is a mind. This is what we do. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's inspired songs, and there's songs that were written that ain't inspired. They were inspired by man, you know, in man's minds, with their religious ideas. But we can sing songs and understand that. So he's telling us what we can do. He said, otherwise, now listen what he says. If you bless with the Spirit, how will it, he said, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Now look at this. He said, he who is uninformed. In other words, a guy doesn't understand these spiritual things. He don't understand these gifts. He said, you give thanks. You gave thanks. I could give thanks in the spirit. I could sit down and pray over my meal in tongues, and it's a good thing. But see, the people listen. If I'd be with people, say, like with us, I could sit down with us and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray in tongues over our meal. You'd understand, you know. You that wouldn't be something. Maybe it'd be weird to you because you never do that. But see, I can do that. And he said, you did well. Oh. Why? Because, but see, the uninformed person, the guy who don't understand this, you got to say things he understands. If you love him, you will. You'll say things he understands. Now, you could do well praying in tongues. You know, I could lay my hand and say, I'm just going to bless Mike and lay my hand on him and just pray in other tongues. The Holy Spirit will give me utterance to bless him. I said, that's what I want to do. The Holy Ghost will do it. He'll speak words. I don't, you know, bless him more than I could probably think in my mind to bless. Amen. That's right. But see, you can do that. I did well. Now, if I did that to Mike, Mike would understand. But you don't go do that and lay hands and pray over some guy in tongues and he ain't got a clue. You're going to have to say some things to him to help him understand what's going on here. And you're going to have to do that. See, and sometimes this stuff isn't clear. And what we don't realize, we're not walking in love when we do that. We need to minister to people to help them. And you're going to have to help people like this on their level where they're at. Not where you're at. You may understand more. You may know more. Fine. You got to minister to them on their level, where they're at. And this is what Paul's dealing with here. And so this is all he's telling them to do. It says, verse 17, for indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. He said, and then he says, I thank God, my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in another tongue. Then he says, brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. See, he's trying to mature these people. So we know this, there's so much been teaching on here that's been immature off of this stuff that we need to bring maturity to the church. Hallelujah. Because God desires to move and bless people. He said, in the law, he said, is written, men with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. Yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for sign, not for those who believe, but to the unbeliever. But prophesying is not for the unbeliever, but for those who believe. Now, tongues interpretation, he says, it is for tongues. This is interesting because the day of Pentecost, tongues was used to reach unbelievers. And if anything today, the lack of understanding in the Spirit-filled church are the most ignorant at this thing. Because they don't want to do this stuff around unbelievers because they think they're going to chase them off. You see, this stuff cannot work unless we operate in faith and believe. If God's working through us, we need to yield to these things around sinners and tongues and interpretation. It don't run them off. But if we don't learn to operate these like God said, we should not expect very much of a move of God. We want a supernatural. Hey, we're getting people coming, you know, they're coming to Jesus and that stuff. But you know what? A lot of them today coming to Jesus, they ain't coming because of supernatural. You know, they're hurting. They need help, and people tell them a good message. They're just coming because the message is good. They need. You know what made my turn by faith? The supernatural turned my faith upside. It made me strong in faith. It took me to another level. And I know this. People that don't know supernatural and don't walk in it, they don't walk in that level. Their faith is not in that level or in that place. And we want to take people in the body. We want to take them to a higher level, and the supernatural world. Wow, God's supernatural. I want this supernatural God. I want something that goes beyond this natural stuff that most Christianity just walks and lives in. That I'm on a plane out here that I can truly don't sit around and have to worry about all the stuff going on out here. Most people can't get past it. Most Christians can't get past it. What's going on out here? Why? Because they haven't, you know, I have a supernatural God. What's he done supernaturally? Well, you know, he saved me. Yeah, well, he did supernaturally save you in spite of you. You know, he supernaturally saved you. But you want to know him. I want to know him that every day I walk along, I know he'll supernaturally manifest himself for me. If I need help, he's on the scene. Hallelujah. I got God the supernatural living inside of me. I got an explosive power of God in me. Hallelujah. He'll put me over. See, you got to have that in you. It can't be, well, I'm just saved. I'm just, you know, this pilgrim down here with a backpack on that has 500 pounds in it, and I'm walking along, and we're just through this life, you know. No, man, I got 500 pounds and I carried its light. Hallelujah. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, he goes on and says, so this tongue, he says, therefore, he said, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there's those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say to you that you are out of your mind? Now, he's two types of people. The uninformed. He's talking about the Christian who doesn't know spiritual things. He's the uninformed. Then there's unbelievers. See, minister, that's exactly who Oral Roberts and his group talked about. Oral Roberts and the other ministers, they were in a meeting. Brother Hagin heard them all say that they were the big guys at that time who were ministering to the world. They said they were never so glad when they would have meetings and they would get past a minister and to all the spirit-filled people. He said because the anointing really didn't really kick in or work and things happened until after he got rid of them. They weren't supposed to be there anyhow. They're in there taking up space. They're supposed to be able to believe God. That's what they said. Well, see, what happens? Here he's telling us about, here in the church, when unbelievers, or he has the uninformed. In other words, you want to make sure, you don't want to have, if they come in, you want to make sure that you're ministering that they can get it. Not just you, to them. You see, this is really important. People don't learn how to minister. You know, I find this out all the time. If somebody comes in and it's never here before, God usually changes my message. Why? Because I know this. He wants to specifically target that person. Why? You guys know. You're here, you know. See, you need to understand how to operate. Because God will turn around and minister. See, oftentimes I find this. Especially in praying for people. Somebody comes in and who don't come here, I can get them healed just like that. If they come and they want me to pray for them to heal, I get them healed just like that. Now, I want you to tell this. I can't do that for you guys. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit, they operate. They operate as the Spirit wills. I don't turn that on and off. See, God has an expectation about us. If you want some kind of manifestation of the Spirit, you got to walk in the level that you know. You have to do that. You got to walk in the level God has an expectation. Don't we do that with people? If some guy walked up, you know, to you on the street and he's 20 years old and says, "Would you tie my shoes?" You know, I don't know how. Oh, yes, we'll tie your shoes. Well, yeah, today I guess people would do it. I don't know. When you have an expectation, that person ought to do it themselves. I watch parents do that. Their kids running around out there, you know, they're 10, 12 years old and their shoes are untied. Parents, get over here, tie that, I want to tie that shoe. I say, I'm going to let him fall and break his neck. Little moron, you know, you run over and tie his shoe for him. See, he's going to hurt himself. Good, he'll learn. See, since he's a dummy and wants to learn the hard way, you can keep playing that all your life, and I'll guarantee you when he's 40 and you're still paying his bills and he's married and he has to keep asking you for money all the time. You know. Well, this kid's going to be good preaching. Hallelujah. But he said, but if, Paul said, but if Paul prophesied, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced of all, he's convicted of all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report that God is truly with you. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has an interpretation, has an has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So we come in, the Spirit moves. Everything should be done from this standpoint, that it is done for edification of the body of Christ. He said, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let it there be two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. So he tells them, he says, you might come in with something. That don't mean you're going to give it out. You need to understand about the operation of this thing. You need to understand how God operates. We have a problem in this area. He says, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. God. See, in other words, if there's nobody to interpret, I don't care if you feel unction to give it, don't do it. See, well, I have to cause God. No, you don't. It's up to you. See, you don't have to. See, God has set some order into place. What is it good for you? Would God want you to give it out and there's nobody to interpret it? Well, that'd shoot all that Paul taught so far. Right. See, this is why we need to understand these things. He said, but if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the other judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For he says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, all may be encouraged. He said, and the spirit of the prophets, what are subject to the prophet. Does it say they're subject to God? See, we don't understand about a lot of these stuff. You know, people say a lot of things. I wish they'd read the Bible sometimes on what the Bible says. They're subject to us. So in other words, there's times that, you know, you may have something. You know, I learned this from Brother Hagin. He would talk about things. He used the instances where he, as a prophet, the Lord would speak something to him in a meeting. Now, he said many times, he said, I go to meetings and people say, Brother Hagin, if you'd have anything to speak, you just go ahead and you can do that. You know, they'll give him permission too. But he said, I can say this truly. He said, basically, I never do that. I never do it. He said, I was the person up front ministering, I'd say, Lord, that person has the anointing just like me. You can speak that out through them. See, most people just think it's just so important that they do that. And he'd say, you know, he said, like, Demas Shakarian, he was in a meeting and he said, Demas always gave him permission to, you know, and he said, he'd just say to the Lord, Demas got the same spirit I got. He said, you just speak it out through Demas. And he said, after a while, just exactly what he got came out. See, because you got something, don't mean you're the only guy in town. People think you are. They think you're only. They think God can't speak out through somebody else. You know, has to be me. No, we're doing it to edify the church. It's not to draw attention to us, and to things. He says, for God, what is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so, We're just in operating in these things. You know, I just wanted to, the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to talk about these today because of getting over. It's number one, it should be a pleasure for you and I to yield to the Holy Spirit. That should be a pleasure for us to do. And instead, it's getting in line. Understand, we're operating in gifts of the Spirit. This is not everybody. It's not going to happen. You're not going to come in the service. Everybody has a tongue to be interpreted. Everybody, you know. I mean, if you did that, you had a big, really big church. I mean, it'd be, you know, my words. I mean, what would that turn out to be? And so, and lots of times, because in large churches, and I realize that they do it, lots of times, most of the manifestation of the Spirit, they sort of gear it toward the people up front. You just, you know, why? Because you can't just have everybody and everything going on. And as people need to understand that. It is much easier in a small group to have more. That's where I learned to operate in gifts. I learned to operate in gifts at home. Manifestations of the Spirit would happen. And I would learn to operate in them. And then also in small groups, God would do that. Would operating in gifts. And it's a wonderful place because, see, if you have other Christians, you know, we can be around each other and, you know, we're not going to throw each other on the bus. It can be a hard thing. It's like when the Lord had me interpret 500 people there and I tell you, I didn't, you know, I might have known three people in the crowd, you know, and that was my wife and my two kids. And God does that to you. Now, I ain't going to say he's going to do that one to you or not. But see, I learned in my own personal life at times, the Spirit of God come on me, and I realized the Spirit of God come on me, and I'd speak in tongues, and then the interpretation would come to me. And I learned it. I interpreted things that were done in my own house concerning me doing that. I learned those things. I learned to pray. I would get over, and I would begin into prayer, and after a while, my prayer would turn into prophecy, and I would start to prophesy. I'm speaking out by the Spirit of prophecy. And I mean, that just became a common thing in my life. We're doing that, getting over praying. And you all of a sudden, it's like you hit a spot and then all of a sudden the Spirit of prophecy. Now you understand this about the teaching gift and about preaching. There is a part of the anointing of prophecy in it, in itself. You're speaking under the anointing of God. There's a level of prophecy in that. But yet sometimes when I'm teaching or ministering, I get over and it shifts and I'm prophesying. It's coming out by prophecy by the Spirit of God. So I'll have things like, so gifts in operation, there's gifts and things that are in operation there with doing that. But what we want to do, it is not to bring attention to us. And see, you know, God's not trying to embarrass you. He's not trying to do that. He wants to use you. It's important. Why? Because there's people need to be blessed. There's people need to be helped. And there's things that God knows about individuals and people and us that we don't know. You know, it's like I remember Brother Hagin talk about it. He talked about having faults. He said, we always know everybody else's fault much better than our own. But you know, I'm just going to tell you this accuracy. There's things you don't know about yourself unless God reveals it to you. You won't see it till He shows it to you about yourself. This is why you want to get over in these areas of the Spirit where you're praying in other tongues, you do things, you're speaking those things in the Spirit. See, it's not to hurt you, it's not to do that to you, but it's to reveal to you. Because there's things, you know, some things, you know, we may think we're all right in life and we're not. We might think we're okay. We're not doing something we consider as very evil, but we can do things that can be hurtful to us spiritually. Can affect us spiritually. That we're doing. That God wants us to correct. Why? Take you to another level. Never to throw you under the bus. Why? He wants you blessed. And so when we look at these gifts and these things that He's talking about here, number one is a good thing. God desires earnestly to manifest gifts of the Spirit through His people. Now you're going to find this fact. People who stand in ministry offices are going to be used by gifts probably fluently more than the average person is. But that there is part of the enhancement of that gift. God demonstrates things to get people's attention to listen to what the minister's saying. If the minister ain't preaching the word, who cares? But it's to bring attention to the word. That's what it is. to bring attention. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what God wants to get. God wants to bring revelation to people. He wants to bring knowledge to people of his word. That's what he wants to do. And so he will manifest from the people who stand in those offices. He will do that kind of stuff. But also he will use you. This is one thing. If you're turning around and minister to people, it's like I find this. All the time I've had this in ministering to people individually and outside. This all happens to me all the time. If I'm ministering in line with the word to the people, many times I get manifestations. The many times reason people don't, they are ministering to people out of their emotions and out of their feelings to that individual. Do it by the word. The signs follow the word. The signs don't follow your, you know, Gucci, Gucci, goo, and you're, you know, trying. That says it follows the word. And see, I found out when I'm ministering to somebody by the word, I start going out of my spirit. You might know stuff by your head. When you minister to somebody, you go to the inside. Your head's caused you enough trouble. Don't take those troubles to somebody else. Now, I'm serious. Get out of the inside. What's God saying in the inside? What's going on there? I want to minister to people. You know, lots of times, you know, we pick up things in the inside and we sort of draw back to it a little bit. But you know what? As a minister, God will bring a gift to you to reinforce that, to bless that, help that person. See, we have today, the old thing is to bring people to Jesus is to give them a cushy message. God loves you. You know, there's some people that God's going to say to them, you either get yourself out or you're going to go to the grave and lost forever. You need to change. And you know what? They know it. And now they know others know it. And it grips them. You can't minister to people the same way. This going to these places and going and they give you this canned message for everybody, that don't work. What it says is you don't need the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what, you need the Holy Ghost because I ain't God. I don't know everybody. I don't know everybody's condition. I don't know where they're at. Ed needs help. And this is why you speak to people out of your inner man. I'm going to tell you, you got the genius inside of you. And you know what? And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit in you, isn't different than the Holy Spirit through anybody else. He's bringing things to you. It's the same Holy Ghost. You ain't got a cheaper version than some other guy in the ministry. You got the same version. You got the same wisdom of heaven in you. You got the same spirit that knows all men. And you know what? We need that to minister to people. Knowing all men. That one, you know, and especially, you know, we go to ministries and, you know, you go and you have an evangelist stands up and he ministers. A lot of people come to Christ and things like that. There's a lot of people, though, out here that they're going to have to be talked to. They're going to have to be, and somebody's going to. And you know what? You need the wisdom of God talking to him. You need it. And these were gifts of the Spirit and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Where you're saying something out of your inner man. God, the Holy Ghost, is speaking to you, to that individual. You need that. You got the Spirit in you. You ain't got something less. And just, you know, learn to yield to that. You're going to be amazed how many times you think, man, is that appropriate for the time? And it's exactly appropriate for the time. The Holy Ghost wants to say that. Amen. The Holy Ghost wants to say that. Don't be afraid that somebody's going to get, you know, offended. I was Mr. Offended when I was a sinner. Thank God that there were people who weren't, you know, gushy and that stuff. You know, they said things that I need to hear whether I wanted to hear or not. But it's what I needed to hear. When the Holy Ghost brought me into the kingdom, he didn't bring me in because Ed was nice. He basically was showing me I'm taking my whole family to hell. He didn't come with the message. He didn't come with the message that most people are bringing today. Why? Because that's all I heard and never came to Christ. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of me of where I was. And you know what? In my heart as a sinner, I knew it was true. See, I couldn't deny what was in me, but I knew. I don't care if I got mad at somebody else for saying it. I had to go home and sleep with Ed. He knew it was true. And then I knew somebody else knew it was true. I ain't hidden no more. What I did is I couldn't hide from God. And thank God for that. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have communion this morning. And thank God. Hallelujah. We're going to look to Jesus. That's what we're doing here this morning. Jesus said as often as we do this, we would do it in remembrance of Him. I'm going to read something to you here this morning. This is what kept coming on to me about communion. It came up to me earlier this week. The Apostle Paul wrote to the believers, and he wrote about this because I want you to understand about we as believers, and we're going to take communion, we're looking unto Jesus, but I'm just telling you this clear. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't know Jesus. If you don't know this, see, and the Holy Spirit's in your spirit. Him and your spirit are in communion together or fellowship. Your human spirit inside, the Holy Ghost is not a foreigner to Him. He knows they live in the same space. Now, to your mind, you could be a million miles away from Him, but in your heart, you're not. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, these carnal people, he's been having to straight out. And he said to this, he ends his letter with this. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. He said, all the saints greet you. And he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says this, and the love of God. You know, he's separate. He didn't say the love of Jesus Christ. He said the love of God. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God. And this is what he goes on, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, or that word's fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you don't really come into communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ. He's the author of it. And see, when we take today and we come to this communion, our fellowship. God gave you and I the supernatural ability to fellowship with Jesus by putting the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. So why? To take what belonged to Jesus and show it to you. I only know Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God in me. I don't know Him any other way. I don't know Him by any other means. I only know Jesus Christ by the Spirit in me. He is the one who has opened Jesus Christ to me that I can see Him and know Him and understand Him. He was the gift in you. And so we come to this communion table. We need to recognize that fact. You know, when Jesus said, you know, you could say anything about me, it don't matter, I'll forgive you. But He said the Holy Ghost won't. Right. He put in you the lover of Jesus Christ, the one who honors and loves. And you know what? If you yield to Him, that honor and love will dominate you about Jesus. Oh, it'll just, and when we approach this table, this is not coming and doing some ritual. This is, they call it communion. We ought to just change the word to fellowship. This is a place of fellowship. Jesus Christ gave this personally to the church to remember Him. Now I want you to think about this. The church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation was rebuked because they left their first love. I wonder who that was. You know what? The church at Ephesus was doing all the, he went down through all this wonderful stuff they do. See, they're doing all kind of good stuff. But Jesus ain't the spotlight. The church in America, Jesus ain't the spotlight. We are so entrapped in trying to have to what we call spiritual stuff and our, you know, organization and our all of our stuff, and we're missing Jesus. My God, He's phenomenal. He's the life of this thing. It don't work. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossians, what do you say to him? You know, set your mind on things above where Christ sits at the right hand. In other words, quit looking at the earth. You know, you're troubled down here. You got problems down here. It's God's what you're looking at, guys. He said, set your mind on things above. Why? Because that's your place. See, when your eyes are set on the earth, you're in unbelief. You're sitting here. I'm just down here and I'm just, no. You're seated in heavenly places. Jesus set you where He is. Communion is a statement of where you are, whose throne you're on. You're in Him. You're one with His blood. You're one with His body. That Jesus in heaven has a physical body. He has a glorified physical body that says we're in. We're one with His blood. That blood on the mercy seat of heaven. I'm and you are one with it. Why? Jesus. We're in Him. Woo-wee! I'm going to tell you, we're on top of it. And it's to take us. This is what He did for you and me today. You sit down, no matter what's going on, trouble. You think a God that did all this wouldn't help you out of trouble? Wouldn't meet you where you need help? I mean, it would be ridiculous to even think so. Why would God put His Holy Spirit on you and He just wanted you to go through all the troubles of life and just grope along in it? The stupidest stuff, the idea. You know, God made me sick for a reason. No, you're sick because you're stupid. When I identified that fact about me, I say not to criticize nobody. Identified, no, that's wrong thinking. That's not focusing on Jesus. That's not focusing on my Redeemer, my Healer. That's not focusing on Him. That's not setting my mind on things above. That's putting my mind right down here on earth. Hallelujah. God ain't going to heal one of you. He's already done it. Hallelujah. And see, when we take communion, we're declaring it. We're seated in heavenly places. His body's our body. Hallelujah. How do you think Jesus treats His body? He makes Himself sick so He can learn something? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But see, when you see these things, you can't help but get a smile on your face. You can look down at what Washington's doing and you can laugh. Hallelujah. That's what God said. God said, look down the wicked and you see the left. He laughs at what they're doing. See the kings of the world we're doing? And God's sitting up there laughing and we're down here. We need to get another person. We need to elect this guy. I'm sorry, God's laughing. Let's laugh with Him. Hallelujah. Let's get excited about what He's done for you today. Father, I just want to thank You. Jesus is marvelous and wonderful, and what a heavenly gift You've given us. What a wonderful thing You did in sending Your Son in the world. Jesus, You're magnificent. You're incredible. Lord, it is going to be an awesome thing when we here on this side one day are going to get to step on that side and be face to face with You. My God, what a champion You are. What a glory You are. You have astounded us with Your great love and mercy and kindness. Hallelujah. Your willingness to suffer, to take the punishment that everybody deserved, not just what one person, but all of us deserved, upon Yourself, so we could step into Your glory. Oh, how wonderful You are. And as we take these elements today, Jesus, we're looking unto You. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. The good work that You started in us, You are bringing it to completion. We're so glad to look on You. Hallelujah. Because You did for mankind what nobody else could ever do. Father, oh, thank You for proving how much You loved us. You didn't just put Your love in us. Hallelujah. It's not a feeling. It's not a thing. My God, You put the person of love inside of us. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Father God, that love is working mightily. And Lord God, our love for Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. What a Master. Hallelujah. You're incredible. And so we thank You. We take these elements, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just wanted to magnify in us Your glory. Magnify in us Your great wisdom and Your great understanding. Lord Jesus, that when we think of this communion table, that You are the head of all things. Hallelujah. And we just say thank You for it all. Father God, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen.